The MCAT is one tough exam, and I talked to an expert today to glean insider tips on MCAT prep, as well as information about Exam Cracker's online and offline MCAT prep options. Listen in to learn how you can ace the MCAT. Welcome to the 318th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Before I introduce our guest today, I'd like to invite you to Accepted's upcoming webinar, How to Create Successful Secondary Applications, to be presented by Alicia McNeese-Namankar on July 9th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Learn how you can use secondary applications to show fit and snag interview invitations. The webinar is free, but you do need to register. You can do so at accepted.com/318webinar. Our guest today is Megan Galvin, who, since 2007, has served as the National Director of the MCAT for Exam Crackers, one of the most respected MCAT prep companies around. There are few people who know more about the MCAT and prepping for it than Megan. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that it's been about 5 years since Megan was last on Admissions Straight Talk, but I'm very happy she can join us today. Megan, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you. I'm totally excited to be here. It's definitely an honor and always a pleasure seeing you again. So thank you. Looking forward to it.
You're very welcome. Now, when we last spoke, again, it was a little over 5 years ago, way back in episode 47. We're now at 318. And that episode aired on March 27th, 2014. And that was right before MCAT 15 came out. How has MCAT prep evolved since the introduction of what was then something very new and exciting and somewhat scary? Now it's old hat. How have things evolved since then?
Well, I think overall what I'm seeing from all students pretty much across the spectrum, you know, whether you're on the low end, high end, middle, non-traditional, it doesn't really matter post-bac. I think overall it's a much better test. And I see students receiving or earning much higher scores on it. So my opinion is I absolutely feel that it's, you know, really kind of hitting a lot of different areas that students will do well in and ultimately see their success in med school and certainly moving on, you know, as a physician. So I'm really actually very excited about it. And we'll talk about that during this broadcast. But where I saw some of the scores, you know, kind of averaging out prior to 2015, I'd say overall are probably about 35 to maybe 45% higher. So I think the confidence level with the student is a lot better. I'm able to work with them with a lot more ease. So yeah, I'm very, very pleased with it.
Okay, great. It seems to me like, I mean, when it first came out, they were hoping that the average MCAT scores would be around 500. And certainly for matriculated students, it's been steadily going up.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say a typical student and an average, I'm just going to say an average, you know, solid, you know, wants to go to med school student, you know, great, you know, solid GPA, has some great extracurriculars, all those kind of things. I would say an average on those students is coming in between a 508 and a 512, right, you know, with proper prep. I mean, that's usually where I see them landing. Now, of course, it goes a lot higher. Some students fall a little bit short of that. But, you know, we talk with them about that too, which again, we'll chat about during the broadcast.
All right. Now, let's turn to the MCAT itself and how Exam Crackers recommends that students prepare for it. When should pre-meds plan to take the MCAT in relationship to both to their coursework and when they want to apply?
Yeah, I think definitely the coursework is important. So, you know, normally, if I can, I like to talk to the students when they're usually, you know, maybe around sophomore year so they can start to anticipate a little bit what's on the horizon. But a normal, again, average student that's kind of churning along, when all prerequisites have been completed, including biochem, that's usually an indicator to them that they're ready. They need to start thinking about planning and certainly prepping for the MCAT. Knowing their timeline, there's some students that, you know, for one reason or another, you know, let's say they're in their senior year, about to take biochem, obviously they're not going to hit that cycle, you know? Right. So, if a student is determined to avoid a gap year, you know, then definitely they want to be taking it in their junior year and plan appropriately and certainly have all the required prereqs under their belt. I have worked with many students that are kind of doing it, you know, side by side and kind of in combination. So, for example, taking biochem and prepping for the MCAT at the same time, usually very, very little problem. So it's definitely doable. You know, it's every student's different. I mean, one of the things we do at Exam Crackers, or I actually personally do, is an assessment. And I offer free coaching to any student that wants it, regardless of where they're at, you know, freshman, sophomore, post-bac, whatever it may be. So again, that gives me an opportunity to kind of talk to them about what's going on. You know, I see students all the time at conferences that are freshmen, which is great. I love to see the excitement and them certainly, you know, very, you know, invested in kind of what's coming down the pike at them. But really, you know, earlier on, freshman, sophomore year, I would say do really, really well in your classes. You know, have a really strong foundation, have that strong GPA, get involved, do your leadership, be in clubs, you know, in the summer, do your shadowing, do your scribe, you know, start to build your resume, like start to think about it. And then again, I say typically when you're done your prereqs, you know, definitely give me a call back and let's talk about your timeline and make sure things haven't changed. Some students need to go on and enhance. You know, some students need to do a post-bac, some need to do a Master of Science, some need to enhance their grade. So obviously a gap year is warranted. So there's not as much as of a hurry or, you know, a gun to their head, so to say.
We sometimes see applicants who contact us, let's say, in winter before they plan to apply. I plan to take the MCAT in May. And, you know, and then I'm going to apply in June. And it just seems to be like those people who take it in May, I don't know if this is just a sample or just an impression. They're under the gun, as you said just a minute ago.
They're stressed out.
I don't know. It seems like, yeah, they're stressed out. Do you see that? Or is this just my observation?
No, I see it. I mean, and you know, I had consults actually all morning. And, you know, one of the things I was asking about is coming up into the fall semester. Tell me about your class load. You know, how many credits do you have? What's going on? What's life like for you? There always has to be a balance. I mean, there's nobody that's ever burned the midnight oil and certainly scored successful on this MCAT. You know, they have to really think about, you know, what's going on in my life. Am I working part time? Am I shadowing? Do I need to maintain my GPA, which is incredibly important? You cannot sacrifice that. And still do a realistic prep, which again, some students are completely out of whack at that. They think they need 6 to 8 months of, you know, hardcore reading and content. And, you know, again, it depends on the student, but an average typical student does not need 6 months of successful prep. Then we start to fall into burnout, which is something else I wanted to chat with you about, which a lot of students fall into that category where, you know, they can't seem to pull away from the content and really focus on their practice passage and the full length exams, and doing their due diligence in reviewing that and really understanding where they fall, you know, kind of on the spectrum as far as where am I scoring, where are my weak spots, and they have things kind of all out of whack. You know, so again, you know, I try and calm them down, you know, and you know, kind of put things
type
in
perspective. Type A pre-meds.
Yeah.
How much time do you recommend, and how do you recommend that they split it up between, let's say, content and testing techniques?
Yeah, great question. I would say, again, a normal average student would probably need in the window between 10 and 14 weeks. That is dedicated prep. That's not dropping in and dropping out whenever it feels good. I mean, that's pretty much 5 to 6 days a week, you know, roughly, depending again on the student, I'd say averaging about 3 or 4 hours. I don't believe, and Exam Crackers, I don't think it's all like, you know, I'm only going to be doing content and then, you know, 8 weeks in suddenly or 10 weeks in, then I've got 4 weeks until my MCAT, I'm going to just do nothing but practice exams. You have to integrate that throughout the entire process. We start our students out with a diagnostic. So they know, you know, in our program, they usually, and I always tell them, do not let this define you. Your first score is not going to be good. I mean, it's probably going to be in the high 400 range, and that's okay. Sure. But you need to know, I need to know, how that test feels, how the language of the test, you know, how it's worded, your endurance. When do you have a meltdown? You know, when do you start to just completely freak out and have a brain freeze? You know, so that's kind of what's going on. And then, you know, typically I'll have my students do roughly about 2 to 4 chapters a week of their reading. I have a formula that I have students follow as far as their reading, you know, for them to be able to retain it. That's combined with taking, you know, kind of what I call mini or 30-minute practice exams, reviewing them, okay, and completely understanding what they got wrong. Typically, every other weekend, I have students doing a full-length practice exam. There's no way to avoid it. Reviewing that in its entirety. And again, one of the strategies I do is I have students really focus on the incorrect answer choices and the language and kind of the variance of how it was actually worded, getting familiar with that. I'm not a fan of note-taking. I try and tell students not to do that. I think that's an entirely whole nother element that they're kind of dropping on top of themselves. They're basically rewriting a manual, and I don't understand why you would do that. It's not effective. And, you know, again, a student I talked to today had already put together 2 notebooks and was halfway through her bio book. And, you know, I said, so once you get done the bio book, do you go back and read the notes? And I mean, it's, you know, so, you know, really kind of straightforward, you know, put it in perspective. I like students to switch chapters too. I don't like an entire day of nothing but physics. You're much more effective if you're doing physics and then chemistry, or physics and bio. Like, switch it up a little bit. And if you find yourself getting redundant and you find yourself rereading the same thing, that's an indicator to yourself, I need to take a break, get up, do something active, go for a run, go to the gym, make dinner, you know, do something. Don't take a nap. Don't start getting on social media. But come back and switch it up. Come back and let's work on cars. Physics is still going to be there tomorrow. It's not going anywhere. But keep track of it, you know, and know that you have to, oh, today I need to bring in physics. My brain wasn't accepting it yesterday. And I use the example, I'm sure you've done it, where you're reading a book for pleasure, you know, sitting on the beach or at the pool or whatever, curled up in your favorite chair. And sometimes you're just not, you know, you love to read, but I have too much going on. I'm thinking about a million different things. Next thing you know, you're 2 chapters in and you're like, I love this author and I have no idea what I've just read. So it's kind of the same thing that I use with my students. Sometimes we have mental blocks. Don't try and push through it. You're just wasting your time. Instead, switch gears. Take a break. Switch it up. So
sounds like great advice. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say I've taken an exam crackers course and I've studied or prepared on my own in addition. How do I know when I'm ready? Is it by the scores I'm getting on practice exams? I mean, yeah. And what if I'm not by May when I have it scheduled?
Sometimes I'm the unfortunate messenger and the deliverer, you know, the one that's delivering that message. I think that a lot of times one of the things I talk about with MCAT is really trusting your gut, particularly with the CARS section. That's a whole nother beast, which we can chat about. But I think a student knows when they're ready. And certainly those full-length practice exams that they've taken, they really don't lie, particularly if they're using the AAMC scored ones. Sure. You know, short of a student having, you know, a complete nervous breakdown or something along those lines or something significant, a medical emergency or a family emergency, they're probably going to score within that range, you know, somewhere within that 2 to 4 point range. It doesn't really deviate, so it shouldn't come as a surprise. So as I said, you know, while I'm working with a student, let's say we're, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into it, potentially 4 practice exams under our belt, you know, I talk to them strategically, like, what are we going to do in the next 5 weeks to bring up that CARS score? Do I think I can bring it up from a 126 to a 128? Absolutely. But this is what I want you doing. So I guide them through it. And that's another thing that I think students fall short on is, I think a lot of times, you know, they think that they're, you know, going to either A, miraculously do better, like, oh, the practice exams I was using, they weren't effective. Trust me, they were. And particularly if you're using AAMC. Another thing that I hear students do, which I correct them on, is they'll say to me, it's Meg, I'm going to take it in May, but you know what? It's fine. I'm going to redo it again in July. And I say, guess what? You're taking it again in July. Right there with you telling me that, you're asking me to kind of hop on your train and agree with you and enable you to basically take the exam again. Why would you want to do that? Yeah. Take it one time. Do you really want to carry this stress and this anxiety with you into a second exam when you're probably not going to be at your highest peak as far as performance because you're off your schedule and you haven't been at that, you know, regimented state. And now you've added an extra two and a half months into it. Typically the second, third, fourth time, God forbid, you've really never hit where you needed to be. I mean, so a student should aim for one time. And as I said, if you are not there, do not do it. Like, do not take it. Or if you for some reason have to go and take it, but potentially consider blocking out the scores, you know, and not accepting the scores and maybe just going through the process of feeling it. You know, I've had a couple of students for logistical reasons and whatever that they've had to go in, but they've canceled out their scores.
Right. Now, I don't understand why applicants would plan to take it twice. I mean, I would go in.
Horrible. Yeah. Bad idea.
You know, go in, plan to take it once. If necessary, deal with it. You know, but plan to take it once. It's such a hard exam. Why on earth plan to take it twice?
Right.
Now, you've mentioned cars several times as being a whole different beast and physics. Is there any one section of the MCAT that tends to trip up more students than others?
Cars.
Okay.
You know, some students, you know, are afraid of it because it's not their first language. So completely understandable. And even students that it is their own language. They can't seem to grasp what exactly is going on in cars and how it's tested. And it's very unique in that way. And it's not something that we learn, you know, early on as, you know, let's say, you know, when we first started school, we were always rewarded for knowing detail. Certainly, you know, there's certain things that, you know, in science you're rewarded for. But I think the difficult thing about cars is that you're given four answer choices that you and I could argue all day long that any one of them could probably be correct. You know, okay. It's a matter of perception. So the difficult thing that the student needs to understand is, you know, cars is about the best answer choice. And sometimes that's very plain, like very evasive. In fact, more times than not.
It's subjective too.
Exactly. And so they're not looking for something very detail oriented. They just want the question answered. Like, we don't need to make it more important than it actually needs to be. And sometimes a very vague answer is the correct one in cars. It's definitely, you know, another misconception students have is, well, you know, I read my four chapters in my cars manual. Now what? If you don't practice cars, you will never excel. Like, you will not see that score improve. It's not a matter of regurgitating, hey, I know the technique. Okay, great. You know the technique, but have you executed it? Have you done it? Have you worked through it? Have you exposed yourself to, you know, 100, 150 passages? Have you practiced? Have you reviewed the wrong answers and why they can be eliminated? It's a matter of comfort. And another thing I keep advising students is you need to be in control of this exam. Do not let the exam control you. I try and bring a lot of positive reinforcement in what they're doing, because I think a student needs that. Obviously, you don't want to be beaten down. You know, you need to see the good. You need to put things in perspective. You need to remember that there's 59 questions in the science sections, 53 in the cars. You know, what about all of the, like, are they going to test every minute thing? Absolutely not. You know, and that doesn't mean that that gives you a pass and, you know, you can forget about a whole bunch of things. You need to have a very strong foundation in order to do well. But the practice work is absolutely essential. And in cars, it's hands down probably the best thing you could do. And another ironic thing I want to add is in cars, even though there's no relationship to the way that's tested and the way the sciences are tested, but what tends to happen naturally with my students is they feel more comfortable about what's actually being asked of them in the sciences. So once they get a firm grasp and a hold of what's happening in cars and success with it, they tend to approach the science sections kind of with, hey, you know, I've got this. Like, I can identify what's being asked here. You know, I can figure it out. And, you know, time efficient and all these other things start to fall into place.
All right. What are the most common mistakes that you see in terms of prep that applicants make? I don't mean on the exam itself. I mean, in terms of just
their prep. Yeah. I think students, a lot of times, we're all hung up these days in social media and message boards, and they can be fabulous. They can be absolutely great. In YouTube, you can see everyone's journey with their MCAT prep. And while everybody's ultimate goal is obviously to get the highest score they possibly can, no kidding, but everyone's so different, you know, and everyone's learning style is a lot different. So what might work for you, Linda? That's great, but it may not work for me. You and I are very different people in how we receive information.
Right.
So I cannot encourage students enough to take the time and research what you're basically trusting your future to. Do you know how the books are laid out? Why are you taking the course or using these books? Are you driven because you got them for free or because your roommate or your cousin gave them to you? Did you win a free raffle and suddenly this is, you know, I'm plumped down in an MCAT course? Know your reasons for being there. Know what the end result is going to be. I mean, as we get older, I research every single thing I purchase, everything. I want to know, is it going to be to my satisfaction and am I going to be happy with what the end result is going to be? And I think students are just too quick to be like, I've got to get my prereqs done. I've got to do this. I have to take an MCAT course. I've got to prep for my MCAT. And they don't know what they've just invested in. And I literally will talk to at least 10 students a day that made the wrong choice. And here they are back again, 9 months later, completely fried. They're all stressed out. What they did didn't work. They have tenfold anxiety. And I always say, let's pump the brakes. Let's take a deep breath. Before you plunge into your MCAT prep, know what is going to work for you. Plan your time out. Know what your timeline is. Don't let it be a surprise that, oops, now I'm going to have to take a gap year. Or don't kid yourself that, you know, your designated med school is going to accept you and you only have a 3-3. And you're not fitting the profile of what they're looking for in a candidate. I mean, and then you coming in with a, you know, average or a below average MCAT score. Like, what magical wand is going to be spun in all of that that's going to get you in? So, I mean, it's really taking, I mean, if it's your future and it's what you're going for, slow it down and figure it out and make a goal and make sure each one of them ask the questions. You know, find out, you know, if you're entrusting me in exam crackers, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to make sure that I'm going to hit my goals? What is that process? What do you do in your classes? What do you do in your coaching sessions? What do you do when this pops up? How are we going to overcome that? And it's truly, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of research that a student needs to do to find out what the best fit is. Normally a student, I can say whatever they want to hear and talk with them and all this stuff. But I always say, you know what? Why don't you look for yourself? Why don't you take a look at our books? Why don't I send you a sample of one of our classes that you can listen to and see if it's a good fit? See if you like us. See if it matches your way of learning. Because if it doesn't, then, you know, sad but true, I don't think we're a good fit. You know, I mean, I want to help every student, but some we may not hit.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, also some, I mean, Exam Crackers offers traditional classes, online classes, self-study courses, and individual tutoring.
Right.
So somebody might be right for Exam Crackers traditional course and not right for individual tutoring or vice versa. Which is right for whom?
Also a very great question. And it really depends. I mean, there's some students that, you know, again, are looking for kind of an affordable way, which there's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong. I completely understand that, which is why we created the self-study program. But they also need to have that accountability. They need to physically show up somewhere and be in a classroom and touch the teacher or be in that energy. Then that's where you need to be. If you're really disciplined, you're very structured, you're very self-motivated, then by all means, self-study, absolutely. That's where you want to be. We have the resources. We can combine it with on-demand classes. Tutoring is actually a tough one, and it's very, very effective if the student knows what the problems are. You can't just plop into a session and expect I'm matched up now with a tutor. And again, something magical is going to happen because the tutor is going to only work with you one-on-one on what your deficit is or what your problems are. And if you can't identify what they are, it's very difficult in a first time meeting for an instructor to be like, oh, I think this, this, and this is wrong with you. You know, so a lot of things I do before I place my students for private tutoring is I go through a whole assessment. I talk with them. I bring up a lot of instances so I can feed, you know, or basically inform my instructor or the tutor of what they're going to be working on with the student. You know, I think that's really helpful in taking the time. But I would say that overall, you know, I like the way the courses are actually run, whether it's an in-person class or an online class. because we hit every single spectrum, kind of it's sort of like an umbrella. We catch every single thing that a student could essentially fall under. It's all we do is MCAT. We don't do any of the other testing. We only do MCAT. So we do it really well, and we know what we're doing. We have a format. We have a structure that we follow. And a lot of students respond very well to that. And then my self-study students and my on-demand students, I personally work with them one-on-one. And it's more or less just, coaching and checking in once a week, making sure they're getting through, making adjustments and modifications. And again, holding them accountable as they're holding me accountable to make sure that it works. So,
right.
Yeah.
What are your top three MCAT prep tips? If you want to get four, it's okay too.
I would say number one, absolutely take it seriously. And, as I said, doing an assessment of yourself, be real and be genuine. Me at exam, I'm not keeping a scorecard on you. So, if you come into me and tell me I'm on the low end, I barely have a 3-2. I'm not a good test taker. I have lots of anxiety. I have a ton of stuff going on. I'm, chatty Cathy, so on and so forth. I would give them a very strong recommendation of what I think they need to be doing. So I try and, kind of give them a heads up. So really know who you are. Okay. Number one, and what your expectations are. Number two, it is a process. Okay. A lot of people use the expression, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And that's very much true. I would personally never go run a 5K, even though I could. I know I could do it if I had to, right? Just like I probably could take an MCAT, but I'm not gonna score well in the MCAT because I haven't prepared for it. I'm not gonna get a great time in my 5K, so I need to train. It's the same thing, and get the results. So I think that's really important for students to recognize that there's not a quick fix. It's not an overnight thing. It's not, admissions is going to be really impressed, that I bought two MCAT courses and, used six different sets of books, to get to this point. They don't care. They don't even have that opportunity to explain that to them. And I think the third thing is, really, there's a certain student that, as I said, is accountable. And, willing to accept the fact that, I fell short, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. So I think it's really being very genuine and a very honest time that I give to students and tell them that, if you're not putting in the work, you're not going to get the results. So again, there's not a magical thing that's going to happen. You basically get what you give, you receive, in return. So, very kind of different words, probably not what you were expecting, but I would say those are probably.
No, you're right. It wasn't what I was expecting. That's okay. That's why you're on. I'm not. What about the tips for the day before and the day of the MCAT exam?
Excellent. So we do something really unique at Exam Crackers. We have something called Zen Week, which people are like, what's going on with that? What's that all about? Zen Week really deals with the mental side of things. We feel that you're physically prepared, you've had all your prereqs, you've gone through this rigorous 10 weeks with us, but what about mentally, and that's something that we integrate, positive thoughts. I usually have my students really focusing in. So if your goal is a 516, I have students write it on a sticky note. I have them put lipstick on their mirror, with a 516. I have them really visualizing that. But I think it's absolutely crucial, even not only the day before, but I would say even like a week or 2 weeks before they actually take the exam, particularly the last week before, nothing. No Googling, no message boards, no last minute question of the days, no more, let me just read this chapter one more time. That ultimately is one of the biggest mistakes students make. So nothingness. I like you to sleep well, get a great, 8 hours of sleep or 10 hours, whatever it is that you need. Eating well, being well rested, don't start any new exercise regimes. Don't do anything off the wall. Obviously, clearly don't go out and, binge drink or anything like that. I mean, really keep things as normal and as routine as you possibly can. Reflect, on what you've done for the last 10 weeks, reflect on the fact that you're considering taking an MCAT because it's warranted and because it's earned, because this is what you've been doing for the last, 4 or 5 years in undergrad or however long it's been. I ask students not to beat themselves up. You know, again, don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive, because that's really what is going to happen. And it's definitely over mind over matter. I mean, it's going in, as I said, you being in control, not arrogant, you know, not obnoxious or anything like that. It's confidence. And just telling yourself repeatedly, I've got this, you know, and I'm going to do well. This is very similar to the last six practice exams that I've worked on. This is just another dry run. Don't focus on the fact that mom, dad, grandmom, aunt, uncle, boyfriend, everyone, all the explanations. Just kind of go into your bubble and stay focused.
Sounds like good advice.
And the day after you're done the MCAT,
yeah.
Celebrate. Okay.
Exactly. Oh, that's a real good one. That's a really good one.
Fabulous dinner, get a massage, celebrate. Yeah.
No more studying. Right. Now, there are many MCAT prep companies out there. How does Exam Crackers differ?
I think the fact that we are absolutely in the top tier, which is pretty remarkable given the size of our company. We've managed to get there with a lot of hard work and certainly delivering a quality product. But I think really kind of, you know, the unique thing about Exam Crackers is the fact that we are in touch. I mean, you know, you would think people are usually surprised when they see me at a conference. They're like, oh my God, I would never expect to see you. I'm like, why wouldn't you? You know, I'm like, oh, I think I talked to you on the phone. Yeah, you did. So there's a lot of personal attention that a student gets. They're not a number. They're not just another person sitting in a seat. We know our students very, very well. I personally can sit here and ramble off a million different things about my students that are currently enrolled, you know, that want to enroll or whatever, very specific details, because we care, you know, because we are in contact with them. And I think that's really an important thing that a student won't get at another company. And I think the personalized attention, not only, you know, internally on my end of things, but also working with their instructors if they're in a class. I think hands down, we have smaller classes. So I think that really allows for the student to connect with their instructor and hopefully absorb and mimic and adapt, you know, some of the successful things that worked, you know, for their instructors, who obviously have scored in the 90th percentile and are typically in med school. So, you know, a student wants that same experience. So I think it's a combination of things. And then, you know, our books have been bestsellers year after year after year. We do update them regularly. So that's another thing. I think we're very in touch with what the AAMC is actually testing. And we're not just slapping on new covers on our books. We're doing rewrites when necessary, edits, you know, so on and so forth.
What's your most popular offering?
I would definitely say at this point right now, it would be our live online interactive class. It's not pre-recorded. I hold it on East Coast time and West Coast time. Another unique thing I think about Exam Crackers is we're not scripted. So we're all very different in how we teach. So no one's ever going to teach the same lesson the same way, which I think is really, really cool. So there's a lot of different personalities that students tend to migrate to. In the online classes, you know, we'll have a lead instructor that's actually teaching the class, a senior instructor. And then we also have a senior instructor that's moderating. So the instructor can actually teach fluently and, you know, do what he's doing. And the moderator is answering questions as the class is actually going on. So it is very interactive. And when warranted, the moderator will interrupt. He'll hop in and say, wait a minute, you know, we've got a couple of questions very similar on that last thought that you had. We need to step back and do a repeat. So I think that's actually really important, you know, for the student to know that, like I said, that they're actually a part of what's kind of going on. And then, you know, the online class, like I said, I think it's convenient. You know, we're in an age of technology. Things have changed. It seems to be ever popular. It doesn't really matter where you are. You can access the online classes.
Communicating, right? Same idea.
Exactly. So, you know, and they're also done in 2-hour increments. So we'll do a lecture on a physical science lecture on one day for 2 hours. The next night we'll be reviewing physical science mini exams. Then the next night we'll do the biological sciences lecture. And then the next night we'll do the biological 30-minute exam reviews. So we're constantly kind of reviewing and doing lectures in a short amount of time. We all know everyone's attention span as well. So it's typically about 45 minutes. So an average person.
Now, if somebody's, let's say somebody's taking the online class, okay? So they're in the class, but I assume there's some self-study also required, right? They have homework, if you will.
Right.
And they're doing that and they have a question or they get stuck on something. Is there some kind of online chat or forum facility for them?
Yeah, we actually have two things. We have on Sunday night, students are invited into office hours, which is a virtual classroom. So they're there with our team of instructors. They can ask any questions they want from that week, whether it's a lecture, a standalone question, maybe it was a full-length exam they took the week before. Anything that you know they really need to, they can talk about with the instructor during these office hours. It may even be something like, you know, I sort of get the CARS technique, but, you know, I read the chapter, but I really don't get it. So we may talk them through it and do a 5 or 10 minute kind of mini lecture, so to say, just to kind of reiterate what's actually going on or clarity. If it's something a little bit more specific with the rules, you know, of whatever it might be in the sciences. So that's really great. And then the students also, even though it's not a live component, every Friday they get sent on-demand recordings of all of the classes and all of the exam reviews. So they'll have that in their arsenal too as well. And that goes for any student, whether they are an online student, an in-person student, or an on-demand student, they'll get those class recordings.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
What do you see in your crystal ball for MCAT prep and exam crackers?
That is a great question, a loaded question. We're constantly working to, you know, identify and kind of be in touch with who our students are. So I think ever-changing. Our social media has really bumped up to a level that I'm quite pleased with. We've got a huge presence right now. Again, given the size of our company and knowing, you know, kind of what's involved with us, you know, doing, you know, kind of outreach, informative type sessions, you know, on social media, I think that's very heavy. We also offer every month we do two, whether it's a science or a CARS lesson, we do a webinar every other week. So a student can actually get a sample or basically learn something, you know, sit in on a CARS webinar and learn something. We also do the first Sunday of every month an admissions chat, which is very interesting. So they can actually chat about that. So as far as the space or whatever, I think that for us, you know, as I said, we're trying to keep our hand on kind of what's moving and shaking, you know, with the students, keeping them vested, keeping them interested, continue working with them, you know, in whatever fashion that may be. I have a feeling that it will ultimately move everything being online. I just kind of see that. And I do see students really incorporating the self-study component of it just because of, I think, the trends. I think students also tend to like, you know, I prefer to study at 7 o'clock in the morning until 10. Then I like to go at it again at 10 at night until 1 in the morning. So this really gives them a nice flexibility to be able to do that.
What would you have liked me to ask you that I haven't asked?
That's a great question.
It's a real freebie.
Yeah.
What would you like listeners to know that we haven't covered?
All right. Yeah. I think MCAT prep, like I said, is doable from really any kind of background that you actually have. I've been lucky enough to work with quite a few students that have been complete career changers, you know, going from, you know, let's say being an engineer or a history teacher or something like that and deciding that they wanted to go after their love or their passion for medicine and giving back and helping other people. So I really kind of admire that and I would encourage it. I mean, you always want to live life with no regrets and I certainly live by that as well myself. But I often wonder, like, you know, I wish I could have done this or I wish I had, you know, the gumption about me that, you know, maybe I would have crossed that bridge and because I think I would have been a great doctor. And I love working with people. I love hearing their stories. I especially love helping them and knowing that I've made a difference. Science and medicine is fascinating. So I think that, you know, every student, you know, that's considering it and wanting to take an MCAT, I think the reward on the other end of it is like truly remarkable. I mean, I put, you know, doctors right up there with, you know, our civil servant or the people that are police officers and our military and, you know, firemen and people along those lines that are just helping. You know, I have a great team of doctors that I work with, you know, for my own health needs. And I just think it's remarkable. So, yeah. And it's kind of cool to be on my end of it, to see a student, And I have a lot more than I'd like to admit, because I've been with Exam Crackers for so long, but I actually have at this point students that have turned around to become instructors, that have turned around to complete med school, that are now practicing. And it's absolutely an amazing thing. Like to see right. them mature into who they are now is just amazing. I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. So
we actually have occasionally people who come back to us with their kids at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, which is also pretty amazing.
It is awesome. You know, great. Yeah. See them, like, you know, some of them, like when I had them as a student, and, you know, they were your typical, you know, average, you know, freaked out, stressed out student. And then I saw them mature into the role as an instructor and try and get their sea legs on. And, you know, then going through the trials and tribulations of med school, you know,
residency.
Then, and then, you know, next thing you know, there they are. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like you could actually be doing surgery on me, you know?
Right. Right.
Which is
my mom had an experience once where she wasn't anything serious, but she wasn't feeling well. And she went into, in her case, it was Kaiser's urgent care. And the doctor walks in and it's my best friend's son. I mean, she's known him since he was an infant.
That's great. See, there's an awesome yeah.
So, says, hello, my name is Dr. So-and-so. And she said, hi, Danny. You know, he didn't recognize her.
Of course but, not. Yeah. Their recollection, right. You know, but, you know, that whole thing is just really just beyond cool to see that kind of stuff happen. And, you know, I, like I said, the testimonials and the rewards and, you know, the students that call me after the fact and they've earned such a fabulous score. Yeah. I mean, nothing makes me more happy than knowing, you know, your life's about to change. And, you know, I had a small part of that and, you know, kind of cool. I feel like I have a bunch of kids like all over, you know, all over the country and actually now starting to go international. So, which is awesome.
Wow. Is Exam Crackers going international or your students just your students go international? Right.
I have a bunch of students from Puerto Rico, Canadian, Hawaii. We're starting to get some of our Japanese, Singapore. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely expanding, you know, which is really cool. Oh, I know something else I wanted to talk to you about. We also have a chat line, which is great. So when we just redesigned our website last year. So when students actually get into the website pretty much on the first page, they can get with either me or the other director, Janice, and talk with us directly. You know, we're chatting with them. So whatever their concern may be, whether it's, you know, a question about the material or something like that, we'll either continue chatting or we take it into a phone call. You know, we say, do you want to talk? Do you want to get on the phone? And, you know, we start talking. And that's, believe it or not, pretty much 24 hours. I mean, I'm not manning it at 3 a.m, but, you know, if the question came through at 3, I always do a follow-up first thing in the morning and say, hey, I'm sorry I missed your chat. I understand you were asking.
Maybe not so sorry, but you're happy to talk to them now.
right. But we always do follow-up. I mean, every single one of them is a follow-up and, you know, how can we help and see you had a question about this or whatever. So that's kind of cool too, having kind of that accessibility of being able to talk, you know, and again, that is actually international. So I'll have students from all over, all walks of life, every single country I've seen. So it's really cool to kind of see where they're cut. There's like a little flag and I can see where they're coming from. So that's pretty awesome too, to be able to, you know, have that kind of outreach and talk to students.
Okay. Megan, I've really enjoyed this. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners and MCAT test takers learn more about Exam Crackers?
Real simple, examcrackers.com. Okay. I would say the webpage is probably the best one. You'll eventually land into, like I said, that chat. You certainly can explore around and see all the different products that we have. You can sign yourself up for some of the free webinars that I had talked about, free coaching session with either myself or Janice, the other director. You know, me directly is very simple, Megan@examcrackers.com, Megan@examcrackers. Now, it's always great to be here. It's an honor. You know, I love doing this kind of thing.
So I'm having you.
Yes. So I greatly appreciate you calling on me and asking me to be here.
You're very welcome. We're going to include links in the show notes at exhibit.com/318 to examcrackers.com, as well as to other links to related articles and interviews. Listener, I want to thank you too for joining Exam Crackers, Megan Galvin, and me for our 318th episode. A quick reminder, register for How to Create Successful Secondary Applications on July 9th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. The webinar is free, and you really don't want to miss it. Register now at exhibit.com/318webinar. And a final request. If you find the show worthwhile, please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk. There's a link in the show notes at exhibit.com/318 to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. And if you want to leave it somewhere else, that's fine too. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.